Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Unprecedented event is happening on Earth as open contact is made with our beloved star brothers, those of the root races who have waited for humankind to be open enough to receive their information. They give us not just information, they give us their hearts, their arts, their philosophies, their histories, and their secrets. Join us on a 3-month online course. It's not too late to register. It started February the 1st. See www.appliedmysticism.com for the information about interstellar mysticism. We have a second course starting that is a very, very profound course. And it is called The Science of Immortality and Incorruptibility. It is also a 3-month online interactive initiative. Find them both on appliedmysticism.com.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our show. This is Jan, and I have several people with me this evening. Before we get started, I'd like to just tell you about a few things that I think you'll be interested in hearing about. One of them is that Al Mean is offering a Valentine gift to all of her Light family, and this is a just recently completed sound elixir, which is for the hidden planets. This particular one is for the 9th hidden planet. The name of the planet is Bra Uret, and the sound elixir is titled Revelry. So that's going to be available to you real soon on angelsoundhealing.com. We just have to get it put up there. It's hot off the presses, so we just have to get it posted. But there will be probably an announcement sent out to everyone. These hidden planet sound elixirs are also going to be available starting February 28th at midnight, and they'll be available for sale. So they'll be on the Angel Sound Healing site, they'll be on the School of Arcana store, and also on the Spiritual Journey store. So, let's see, what is it? Oh, okay. Also, I wanted to mention that the Hidden Planet Sound Elixirs will be available as part of the Interstellar Mysticism course, which is currently running. They'll be available in month 3, so it's not too late to sign up for that course. It's really an interesting course. There's so much information coming out of that course where we're learning how to just really connect with information in a non-cognitive and a non-linear way. And we'll have some of our guests share some information about that, too. They were working with it in some recent classes with Al Mean. So, let's see. The other things I want to mention are there's a really exciting event coming up in Florida. It's Al Mean in Florida, and it's a conference which is unlike any one that we've had before, any other sort of class we've had. This conference is going to be an opportunity it's a 3-day conference, and it's going to be an opportunity for people to attend free classes offered by different students who study with Al Mean with various modalities of information, specialty information. There's also going to be paid lectures or classes that you can go to, and Al Mean will be speaking at this event. She'll be speaking at a free lecture on Friday, and the dates of this conference are February 25th, 26th, 27th and 28th. So it's a 3-day event, but she's going to speak the Friday evening prior to it actually starting. So you can look all this information up on www.almeaninflorida.com and just get all the details, because I'm kind of giving it a quick run by. I also wanted to mention a beautiful CD that Almeen recently made called Healing of the Angels. It's a CD that you can play when you're doing Belvas Bata sessions. It is 60 minutes long, and so that works really well for any kind of a session you might be doing. And it's just a beautiful piece of music to play anytime, in your home, in your car, at work. It consists of three different parts. One is Almeen calling the angels of Belvas Bata. The next part is blessings from the infinite. And the last part is Almeen calling the angels of compassion. So I invite you to take a look at that. It's on the School of Arcana store. And the last thing I want to mention is really pay attention to AlmeenDiary.com. That website has got links to Facebook and Twitter, and there's a lot of information posted on there every day. There's a new posting from today of Almeen speaking at a conference in Los Angeles, California, and I invite you to take a look at that if you live in that area or will be in that area at that time. The dates, boy, they're escaping me right at the moment. It's 12th, 13th, and 14th, I believe. But take a look there and check that out. So that's all the announcements. And without further ado, let's welcome Selma, who's a student with Almeen and has been studying with her for quite some time. Welcome, Selma.
Thanks, Jan.
Glad you could make it here with us. She's got a lot of snow where she is, too. She's far from me. Tell us a little bit about where you live and how you started studying with Almeen.
Well, I live in Toronto in Canada, and I guess I started hearing about Almeen more than 10 years ago. My massage therapist kept talking to me about Almeen this and Almeen that, and I kept wondering, well, why do you keep going back to these different courses? Because most people that I know that offer workshops or courses teach the same material over and over. And so finally the time was right for me, and I was actually supposed to do my first two-day weekend course with Almeen in Toronto September 16th, 2001, which may seem like a pretty significant date because this was 5 days after 9/11 happened. So
Yeah. Obviously
that got rescheduled because no planes were flying anywhere at that time.
Yeah, wow. Pretty ominous start there.
Yeah, so then it was really November of 2001 that I did my first weekend course with her in Toronto. And I guess I did a couple more weekend ones over the next year and a half. And then I had an opportunity to do a one-day week, which was called The Razor's Edge. And we had about 15 people in someone's home in Toronto. And interestingly enough, we had a lot of snow and ice to deal with on the last day of that five-day class. But we persevered and safely made it there and back. It was quite an amazing storm in early April, actually. And that was really, I think, our start of going inward in those days. We did a lot of work around, looking at our past, our history, past lives, and how that affects some of the choices and ways we are in life currently. And so it just went on from there. So I've actually done, I was just counting recently, 23 weeks, five-day weeks with Almeen over the years. Like I said, a couple of several weekends, and then in Sedona recently was my first three-day class.
Well, you've got quite a history there. What do you find that you, I mean, obviously there's some value there for you because you just keep returning. What do you find that does keep you returning? What is it in Almeen's teachings that you find of value?
Well, I think we all have our own spiritual paths, and, you know, I had certainly had a history of spiritual teachers before that, but it was just, for me, it was the right timing, the right opportunity. But what keeps me coming back is that it's not static with Almeen, and it's not just, you know, her standing in front of a class and, you know, spouting information or whatever. It's that it's dynamic. We're all part of it. And if I think back to some of the things that happened in my classes, say in 2005, 2006, I mean, they were remarkable. And we did things that there was no way that we could ever have done in normal circumstances. So I really, you know, you go through the fire and you say, there's no way I can do this. And then you do things and you think, wow, how is that possible? You know, how do you come up with angel names or sigils or symbols or things, you know, and just remarkable. And how do you see interdimensional photos of yourself and say, how am I transparent and I can see this photo and I know I was there, you know?
Yeah.
So pretty amazing stuff.
That's really amazing, yeah.
And I would say really the big thing for me is this was my calling in my life. I mean, there are people who go to church or whatever. I don't go to church. This is my church, if you will. It's dynamic, changing information, unlike most spiritual teachings. Almeen herself doesn't know what's coming up, so it's really a huge adventure. It's fantastic experiences. It's a journey. Every class for me is enjoyable. It's also part of how I contribute and make a positive difference. And I remember something Almeen said years ago, which was, you know, for those of us who are looking for how we could be of service to humanity and potentially bigger to the cosmos, she said, for each person who is able to ascend, the benefits to all of humanity are so tremendous. So that was my, you know, one of my primary goals early on.
I really agree with you. That is exactly the point I was at when I started studying with Almeen. I just kind of felt like I can't find anything new to study. I was raised sort of in a very liberal Methodist, you know, they're allowed to do everything. kind of a church background, but I didn't really find much in it that I found appealing, and just, you know, studied a lot of different things, but not with any particular teacher. And at about 2004, the end of 2004, I just was like, okay, there's nothing for me to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just really, if I can get with a bunch of people who are like-minded, I guess that's about the, you know, most positive contribution I can make. So not too long after that, I got an email to go to this WESAC festival in Kentucky to attend a class with Almeen, and I thought, oh, you know, I had been looking at her classes and just kept, you know, thinking, oh, it's not the right time. Well, that seemed like the right time. So I started going, and that was, you know, when she said she had gotten a call to gather the, you know, pillars of the temple and, you know, really go out and do her teachings in a different way. So I answered the telephone when she called and started studying with her. It's really interesting how many people say that, too. They have dreams or they do just feel like, well, time to start studying with Almeen now. You know, they see her name on a something unusual, or they just are looking on the Internet and her picture pops up, or you know, some friend tells them, but it just seems like when it's, you know, the right moment for you, you sort of get the nudge.
And the funny thing is, Jana, I wouldn't say I was really looking for something, but then that's been my pattern in this lifetime, is that, you know, I wasn't looking for my previous spiritual teachers, but they just appeared, and I kept getting, you know, signs in some cases, like, okay, this thing keeps coming up. And but for me, it's like once something feels right and, you know, I grab hold of it, then I'll just run with it. And so I couldn't necessarily explain it logically, even though I'm a very logical, you know, kind of person, but it was like it just feels right. And if you think of how fantastic we feel when we're in, you know, classes with our light family, I mean, the energy is amazing. You know, it's just a great feeling. You just sort of say, yes, this is where I can make the most difference. And I think you mentioned something about how any other teachers that I've considered since then, or spiritual, you know, teachings, offerings, whatever, I haven't found anything that's at a higher level in terms of being so cutting edge and constantly changing. So, you know, that's an easy thing, apart from how fantastic it feels and, of course, how wonderful, you know, the light families are in terms of when we get together.
Yeah, that's really a huge benefit. I love the fact that, you know, we're so connected to people all over the world, and, you know, we might not see each other for a long period of time, but when we're together, it really does feel like your family, and it's a great support when you're, I mean, not like you need it or you have to have it, but there's a joy in that support.
It's a choice. I mean, you know, no one forces me. It's, you know, it's something that I choose to do. So I was thinking about how Almeen says that, you know, we don't have to eat anymore, or we don't have to drink.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure if someone really wants to do that, if they want to become a breatharian, they could. But I think, you know what, for me, this is my spiritual nourishment. I choose to continue to be involved and participate and contribute where and how I can. And it's a choice. So, you know, maybe we don't need any of these things, but when it brings you pleasure and joy and you also think you're helping others in different ways, why not?
Yeah, I agree. It's the same for me. I want to ask you, how do you find, and you've kind of, I mean, you've made different comments along the way here, but how do you find that you integrate what Amin teaches in your daily life, that it has some sort of a practical application for you?
Well, I mean, my answer may not be a typical one in the sense that, you know, I work as an IT professional, so I'm not a Belvas Patar practitioner. I'm not using the teachings as a, you know, a way to, you know, earn income or in a direct way to contribute to other people's lives. But I really believe that who we are, each of us, we are, you know, contributing to other people's lives simply by engaging with them, you know, whether it's just, you know, giving someone a smile, a kind word, seeing things from a higher perspective. So really, I just think it's who I am, that I bring who I am to whatever I do. And also that by continuing to grow and learn, hopefully I'm setting an example, not only for myself, but for others as well.
Yes, I agree with you. Go ahead.
I was going to mention the other thing, I guess, for me is that what I've really observed in myself is how much my mind has quieted over the years that I've been working with Almin, because as someone who, you know, tends to be left brain and very logical and is in that kind of career, and I was someone who, when I was younger, used to be proud of the fact that my head ruled my heart. And now I don't say that. You know, I think it's much more in balance. And I think that's a good thing. And just being more in the flow with things, really paying attention. I always used to be pretty observant and would learn things from lessons in my life, especially what went wrong. I'd say, okay, what can I learn from this? What's the teachings? But that's just been, I would say, accelerated more so. So now when I observe things, I say, okay, what's the bigger picture? Is this just a lesson for me, or is there something at a macro level that it's telling me?
Yeah. I like the point you made about the linear thinkers and how for you that was, you know, just sort of the way you lived your life. And have made changes. That is a difficult piece for some people who are very logical and linear thinkers when they first start studying with Almin, because it's sort of hard for your mind to let go, you know, and it's almost like you feel, and it is true, if you accept one premise or one aspect of Almin's teachings, you just have to let go of all your belief systems, all your conditioning, your worldviews, everything that I think before you realize it with Amin's teachings, you don't realize it's not really you. You feel like it's you, but then you start peeling off the layers and you realize it's things you've been taught by your parents,
yeah,
or by school, or by your job, or your culture, your religion, you know, whatever it might be, your group of people you socialize with. It's all these things that really don't define you. So, peeling and peeling, you get down to who you really are. And that's a huge insight, of course. And it's challenging, I think, sometimes more so for people who are very logical.
I think that's a really good point, this whole idea of social conditioning, because there's no question that most of us take our social conditioning for granted. I mean, because I've had the good fortune to live in other countries in the world and to travel a lot, I have perhaps some appreciation in those ways of different cultures and different norms and stuff. But, you know, by the same token, all of us are stuck in our own individual culture, whatever that may be, all the influences that brought us to where we are. And so when we start to sort of be aware of those and dissect those and say, well, okay, is this me, you know, as a natural human being or spiritual being, or is this my social conditioning? And so there's no question to dissect all of that and just to be aware of it. And this idea of hanging on to our beliefs lightly, I mean, my God, my beliefs have been, you know, I'm amazed at anyone who comes to study with Almin now, because it's so fantastic and off the scale for most people in terms of the things that she's teaching. I'm amazed that anyone new can come along and in any way relate to what she's teaching, but perhaps that's where the heart and the instinct comes in, that some people just instinctively tune in and say, I can't logically explain why I feel attracted to this, but somehow I do, and if they're able to open their minds and their hearts enough, that they may discover a whole new world and possibilities that they just had not considered before.
Yeah, I agree. It's very amazing, and I know you've seen this too from having been in classes. Like, I started in 2005, and I've been to quite a number of pods also, because they just sort of said, this is what I choose to do, as you made the comment. So I would try to go as often as I could, and I had the opportunity at various times to just pursue that, so I did. But it used to be much more challenging for us to move through some of these various stages of growth, and
absolutely,
if you want to call it the ascension process or however you want to name it. But it used to be, you know, Amin had a very challenging time moving through some of the phases of that, like a year, you know, or something.
Definitely.
Yeah, and for us it took, like, we used to do this thing called recapitulation, which made you just kind of be like, oh, let me just go get my teeth pulled, you know, it's not much more pleasant. But it was a process of looking at things that happened to you and sort of desensitizing, you know, figuring out why you had the reaction you did, and because
yeah,
it basically just sets an emotional precedent for you, and we're little computer systems, so we would, you know, have the same response when we come up to a similar situation. So you sort of pull the plug on all of that and clear up your programming you have, and then you're just more, you know, having more science of the mind and less emotionally having a knee-jerk reaction to things. So it used to take us a year to do that, and
absolutely,
then it started being like, I know you've seen this, you're sitting in class and it's sort of like people start going off like little popcorn kernels, you know, and you'll see somebody kind of looking a little, you know, like something's going on, a little,
you know,
distracted.
They're shifting.
and you can tell they're shifting, and Almi would say, if you want to lie down, or if you want to, you know, just don't worry, you know, you don't have to listen to what we're talking about, drink a lot of water, and, you know, people would be going, woo. But now it's just, you know, amazing. People move through these stages very effortlessly, it seems, and don't even realize in a lot of cases till they go home that what has happened, you know. And then when they get back in their home environment, they're like, wow, some amazing huge thing has happened to me.
Well, and I think that, you know, makes me think of a couple of points, Jan. One is that anything, you know, we see the pattern throughout human history that the first pioneer to do something, it is incredibly difficult, you know, to go where no one has gone before. And certainly, you know, what Almin did, and, you know, perhaps very few people in all of humanity before that had come even close to what she did. But then as you build some momentum, it becomes so much easier for the people that come behind. I mean, look at the fact that it was, what, 1969 when man first went to the moon, and, you know, 40, 50 years later, they're going to have, you know, before you know it, they'll have tourists going there or something. So, it's, you know, it's pretty amazing. And we've seen in over the last few years, as you say, a fantastic progression in terms of, you know, how much things have accelerated so quickly. And I think, you know, when you talk to Serge today, for example, you'll say, okay, here's someone brand new sort of at the other end of the spectrum, and how can he relate to that experience? And the other point you made me think of is what happens when people go back to their so-called normal or everyday lives. That's where the social conditioning can be a challenge, because they'll be in a class and they'll feel fantastic, even if they don't know why. Things will start happening, they'll have these experiences. And then the challenge is sometimes they go back and, you know, how do they relate to their normal surroundings and the people that they associate with?
Yeah. It was purposeful that I chose to invite both of you to be on the show tonight, just because of that, what you mentioned, that you've been studying Dhamim for a while. Serge is a relatively new student. So the contrast is very interesting, and from heaven we'll get to touch on some of those points. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Is there anything else you wanted to share?
Well, I just wish everyone well with the journey, and I think it's also fantastic that there's so much of Al Mean's material available now through websites, so it just opens up that possibility to so many people who can't necessarily go in person to a class either because of economics or, you know, other reasons and stuff. So I think that's an excellent option for many people to be able to start their studies that way if that works for them.
It is, and it's a huge opportunity for people who don't live in a particular community where there's a lot of other students where they haven't been to classes, as you said. This, especially the online course opportunity, is a beautiful way to connect with people in a sort of a virtual forum, kind of a study hall, a secret space environment where suddenly you're surrounded by people who are interested in the same thing as you, and you're sharing this learning experience with them. So it's a great opportunity for people who can't actually make it to a class. And more and more, it's a way that I think Almeen will be able to reach a lot more people, you know, than she has.
And also the websites, I mean, it's fantastic, the number of websites
amazing.
And all the content
yeah.
on there that's
yeah.
available for free. So that's
yeah.
another place that some people may choose to start. So it's great.
It is. It is a really great opportunity. And then, you know, Facebook and Almeen Wisdom Twitter
and
her diary are also
yeah.
places. They're all free where you can just go and get these little
putting technology
Wisdom Twitter
to good
especially.
Use.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like this cutting edge, you know, connection to this information with very little effort. So thank you very much again for joining us.
Thanks,
and Azure will be evening. Thank you. And don't play out in the snow too much.
You take care too.
No,
bye.
Play in the snow. That's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we're going to have Seth playing for us now a new Hidden Planet Sound Elixir. It's number 9 and it's called Bra Uret. welcome back, everyone. Again, that sound elixir, that hidden planet sound elixir, is called Bra-U-Ret. It's from the planet, from the planet Bra-U-Ret, and it's titled Revelry. And that is Almeen's Valentine gift to everybody. It should be posted on angelsoundhealing.com very soon, so you can get on there and get that for free. I want to offer just a little question and answer that is connected to the information of the hidden planets, and I'm going to share that before we talk to Serge. Hold on there, Serge, we're coming. Are you there still?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Okay, all right, hang on just 1 minute. The question was posed, what is the primary significance of the hidden planets studied in interstellar mysticism? And Almeen answered that the planetary ascension that began in earnest in February 2005 has been primarily masculine and light-based. This produces immortality, but ascension into immortality reaches a peak, at which point it must have its frequency, feminine components rise as well. Since December of 2009, we have been poised at the peak, needing the feminine's ascension to catch up for us to go beyond our current level of consciousness. The alternative is to descend. The unseen planet's elixirs are a gift to help humanity achieve the balanced ascension necessary to transcend the current stage of life. So that's a pretty huge job for any body of information or work to accomplish. So these hidden planet sound elixirs are a very important tool for us to achieve this end. And I'm going to say hello to Serge and welcome you to our show this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Well, hello there. Thank you very much for inviting me. I feel very honored to be amongst all these people of such fascinating just backgrounds, and just listening to them talk is, Selma included, was just a treat for me. So thank you.
Well, good. Well, share with us, I alluded a little bit earlier to the fact that we were working on some of these very things, which is mentioned in Almeen's answer, what is the significance of the hidden planets in our studies with interstellar mysticism. We were doing some of this work. Serge was in a class that we were lucky enough to attend while we were cruising along the Mexican Riviera, and we were working with this information. So can you please share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got attracted to Almeen's teachings?
Sure. Well, I live in Montreal. I've lived in Montreal all my life, and to say that I'm a newcomer to this is really understating it, because literally for me this has been a question of months. I started with the simple desire to be in a meditation class, and once that got going, I got invited through friends to attend a Bel Vespeta session, not knowing anything about it, but just keeping an open mind. And the question of this cruise came up, and with I must say great reluctance and great and a lot of questions, I ended up going on the cruise. And not knowing what to expect at all, and just trying to keep an open mind of everything that around me. But I must say that the people that I've met there are I've just been completely blown away at everybody that's there that brings their different backgrounds. And for me, I think that the best way that I can describe the whole situation that happened on the cruise, and I imagine the pods are very similar to that, is, for me, Almeen is like she's a speeding train that's rushing towards a very specific location, and she's just throwing out this information that's being given to us, but it's not really teaching. It's the sense that she's putting out this information until she gets blocked by a wall, at which point she just desires, or she requests us to offer our inputs, whether they be dreams or visions or just suggestions, and out of that she seems to be able to pick a couple of them, and that'll answer the questions that she's looking for her to get to the very next stage. So it's just she's not teaching, it's that we're there supporting her in order for her to get to the destination where she needs to get to. And as she's presenting this, it's a glorious story it's like a living play. It's a glorious story that's being developed in front of us. And it took me a couple of days to try to get into this and to understand really, you know, what the heck was going on. But at the same time, I started to feel before me just this play that we're all a part of the play as she's describing it. And based on our backgrounds and based on the various experiences that each one's had, specifically on the cruise where we saw the development of the breaking out of the inner child, and it was just a beautiful experience to watch. And I think, you know, the story that's being written as we're living it, the story, I think it comes together once people sit back and reconnect the pieces, and that's when the story actually starts to take hold. And that's one thing I realized, that even on Sunday morning as we're leaving, speaking to various people, some of them who didn't even understand why they were there, we just started connecting the pieces together, and all of a sudden, you know, the light went off in their head, and they go, okay, now I understand why I was there, now I understand why this happened. And so it's just been an absolutely fascinating just experience, just to be able to participate in this play, and of which the outcome doesn't seem to be predetermined. I think that's one of the points that came out, because it reacted to the way that we were living and the way we were breathing, and the thoughts that we were having, the directions changed on a whim. I remember that Almin was offering some points the previous, the night before the previous course, and then she would come in the next morning and say, well, this information has changed now. We'll have to correct this. And it happened during the night because more information came in. So the whole experience to me has been just being enthralled and being almost literally dragged into this feeling that it's the best way I can describe it, because I went in there with just a healthy dose of skepticism. And just asking all sorts of questions, despite myself being captured by this, and just by the fascination of the people there, and by the pure energy that comes from from Almin's heart, and just being involved and living this like I said this play out as it was being presented around us, we were actually part of the play, it's a very indescribable feeling. It's a feeling of pushing in the same direction and just wanting to desperately wanting to get to the next step and sharing all this together. And then when it all came together on Saturday night, and I think the beauty that we all experienced, or we all seem to have experienced, was something that's going to stay with me forever.
That's very beautiful. It sounds like you have had the experience which Selma and I talked about. I mean, kind of both, where you have, your mind is questioning, but your heart is feeling you're resonating with Almin and the information, and just the integrity and the purity of it. And so you just are led by your heart to, follow along. And it's very, very powerful, as you're saying. A lot of us, especially when you first start sitting with Almin, but you're very expanded when you're in class and you don't even realize it. Sort of how, as Selma shared, easy for me to say, as Selma shared with us some of the qualities of the interdimensional photos, it's sort of analogous to this comment where you feel very expanded, but you don't realize how expanded you are. You're with all these other people who are feeling the same in various, levels of that. In these interdimensional photos, it's sort of the same thing. You're in a room. You feel like you're just looking at everybody. They look regular. And then you see a photo taken during that time, and it shows, seems to show this other picture, that you're not seeing with your 3D vision. It's like you can look through, you see yourself in a photo, but you can look through yourself and see two other people and then the furniture, behind them. So you're going, huh, what's with that? It's just a kind of a reference point for us to realize, the shifting that's going on, with us at these times. Well, you mentioned that you sort of got dragged to this class and then the powerful experience that you had there. What are you doing now to integrate, I guess, is what we all experience after class. You're sort of living and sort of letting this information filter through you and your experiences filter through you. What do you find yourself doing right now? Like, what's coming up for you in terms of integrating information?
Well, to tell you honestly, there's such a mountain full of information, whether it be the various websites. I started taking some of the, you know, one of the alchemy courses. I've started reading the books. I've started listening to some of the CDs. I've been involved in the Belvastata, initiations, some of which happened during the cruise, which is just a wonderful experience to be part of. And, one of the questions I had to various people there was, well, there's just so much out there. There's so many courses. Where does one start? for somebody who's
great
new,
question.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there a checklist somewhere? Okay, you'll start with this course, or listen to the CD, or jump into this, and because that's one of the things that's a bit, I must say, daunting.
It's not even a
proper term. It's just a mountain of information. I mean, even just listening to the BBS radio and the blogs and the Twitters and so that's definitely something which I think would be useful for all new people who are as myself who are very new to this.
Well, there is some place good that you can go to if you are a new student, and I'll just mention that. It's School of Arcana, and it's got a link to, when you get on that site, it has like a tab where you can look up anything you want to. I mean, you can access that. Let me make that more clear for everybody. You can get on Amin's home website, which is www.spiritualjourneys.com, and there's a link on there for, let me get it up right here on my computer. I'll tell you the correct thing. It's called There to Begin in Studying with Almeen. And when you get on that link, it's over on the left-hand side of the home site, it opens up this Arcana site, and it has literally, it's almost like an encyclopedia of topics you can look up to, if you have a certain interest in a certain topic, it'll, astrology, it'll take you to the Astrology Advices website. And you're right, it is daunting in a really good way. It's kind of like getting invited to the best buffet meal you've ever had. There's so many great things you want to try out that you're just sort of overwhelmed. But any website, I just tell people, go with what attracts you, just enjoy it, because it can make you sort of feel a little frenzied because you just want to take it all in. So really follow your joy in that if there's a particular subject you're interested in. One of the online courses that's really good to start with is, if you're interested in that, is the one that's currently running, which is called Incorruptibility and Immortality. And it's on the home website, too. I always refer people there because it's just kind of easy to find these online courses right there when you open up the page. There's an Academy of Alchemy, an Institute of Applied Mysticism, and then one for Institute of Human Potential. And this Incorruptibility and Immortality course is on the I Am, or the Institute of Applied Mysticism link. So you can go right there and get all you need to. But it really helps people let go of some of the things that we just think define us, some of the conditioning and worldviews that we have. And so it sort of helps you dissolve those and release those and then rebuild yourself in a more empowered way with new concepts and ideas of, who we really are. And the angelsoundhealing.com is on there too. So that's got a lot of good information. I wanted to mention there's a link on there. When you get on that angelsoundhealing.com site, up at the top there's a lot of different links, and one of them is for the gallery. And if you get on that one, it's got a detailed description of the interstellar sound elixirs, so it can give you a deeper experience with listening to those. I know a lot of people have purchased those and are really enjoying listening to them. So back to you. So you're at the Smorgasbord Buffet where you're just challenged to figure out what delightful thing you want to next tackle. And I know you've been working a lot with, just from our little emails back and forth, you've been working with Baba Spitar, as you said, and had an initiation recently. So are you thinking that you want to really study that information and possibly teach it due to the fact that you're in an area where there's French is all around you there? So that's a way that Almin's teachings could move into that community. Is that something you think you might do?
Well, I definitely think this specifically in Quebec here, this region here has always been a region of high spirituality, and I think it's ripe to receive the information. But there's an anecdote that struck me as you were talking, and I just think it would be an example of how powerful the driving force is of what, you know, personally I experience and a lot of us experience while we were on the cruise. This was a Sunday morning. It was a bunch of us had collected, you know, as we were disembarking, and we started talking about everything that happened. And we were starting to put the pieces together about everything that we had just seen, and it was, you know, we were going processing it in our minds,
mm-hmm.
and we were all collected in a taxi on the way back to the airport, and just talking excitedly amongst ourselves. And there was a person who was sitting beside us who had been listening to this 20-minute, moment of just pure excitation from all of us. And at some point, she turned around and she looked at us and said, "What is the name of your book? I want to read your book." And this came completely out of nowhere. And I think it's an example of how just the sheer, you know, the sheer excitement and the sheer joy of everything that we had just shared was just being transmitted to a complete stranger.
Yeah,
someone
yeah.
Who just perked up on this and said, I want to be involved in this. I want to be in on this.
Yeah. I want to have someone what they're having.
Pardon me?
Like when you're at a restaurant and somebody says, "I want to have some of what they're having."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's this great dessert. That is a good antidote. It is... I know your family and friends will be sort of saying the same thing. You know, what is going on? We even had come back from classes, one of the first ones we'd attended, and we were looking in the mirror like the day after our first class, and we're going, "Wow, we look younger," you know? And it just seemed to be this relaxation, you know, this total relaxation in your body that was apparent in your face. And I came home and said to my husband, "Do you think I look different?" And he said, "Yeah, I think you look younger." And I was like, "Wow, okay, here you go." And it, you know, not so much that we're worried about looking younger or, you know, a physical appearance per se, but just that how powerful is that, that you have a total body relaxation enough, you know, that it shows in your face. So
well, I've had
the joy is contagious.
yeah, and just as you're mentioning that, in the very short term that I've been involved, you know, people when I've come back home have mentioned the same thing. They look at me and say, "You know, Serge, you've changed." You know, they
yeah.
You know, I don't notice it myself, but they look at me and they say, "You know, there's you've really changed." So it's something which is organic and seems to be, you know, constantly evolving. But yeah, I can definitely say that, you know, more than a couple of people have mentioned that, you know, around me, and I'm not. For me, I wasn't expecting to hear that. You know, that really surprised me.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Well, I'm going to wrap up our show here, and we have another transmission from Almin, which I know everyone's really going to enjoy. And thank you very much, George, for joining me tonight, and I hope I'll talk to you again soon.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure, and thank you once again for inviting me. It's a wonderful experience, and I would invite anybody to jump in, because that's the only thing we can do, I think. We can't really question it. Just jump right in.
That's good advice. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night to all our listeners. We're going to play a transmission from Almin, and we'll see you next week on our show. Thank you for joining us.
There was a time long ago when magic abounded upon the land. and to communicate between men was done by stories that were told. The oral tradition flourished then. It served to bypass mind at a time when animals could communicate with humankind. When magic abounded and was natural as breathing air. Long ago, when the cycles of the dream were there. The dream is despised, awakening praised. But in doing so, we have lost the gifts that await. For these cycles were no accident. Coupled with cycles of ascension were they. And great were the gifts that they hold, which we must claim this day. This information comes to us from the hidden kingdoms, from records from the giants. Kritra huba mine etat nunat mirit asalabavat kil herstat unek bavi bespranak brahus esklet bravi. That which is suppressed will always arise. Thus, instinctual reactions are there for humankind, bypassing the higher mind. They come unbidden, and then you will find that you feel like a fool having reacted once again, instead of responding as a master among men. Nitbarak ustava. Eliseskra hurit karava, enik barut atrachna, subahus eklesna estavu. In the deep cycles of the dream, animals walked among men. They were able to openly communicate then, because man's animalistic behavior, his nature, that is thus, was alive. And so the instincts of man were strong as he survived. Kishtani nekva burakva it, elkla sutva erskranit, setre hispava estre uraknastu. Go back deep into the cycles of the dream, where nothing is as it seems. Connect once again with the archetypal animals who are part of you, that your pieces might be restored. This humanity must do. Ese ta nanu ishte minik birit parut banat ben sekve pilis hustrava. Not only is this that man might know himself, but also that full ascension can take place as well. All man remembers is the ascension of light. Electrical it is, by silencing the mind. Kishta minech bikata uvech penes usaviket nishtiana usech bines ba uklanet. But ascension of either the masculine or the feminine alone cannot bring man to the oneness in which he will feel at home. An apex has been reached. You are at the top. The left brain ascension has brought you here, but now it shall stop. Pinek karut aset vekil bresh, paruch nanusat bil stretve astrava. Kishtana usteh ninat haruk barut astana blik bret prauknasta. You must go down and retrieve your feminine, or stay where you are, and live it now as you did then. For long ago that is where man dwelled. Now we shall tell you how you can rise above the apex that you know so well. Stechba unes kranukvatik na sut pel ek harut na ver eshkla manu bravut. For the time has come in which the feminine must take its place, or down you will go and dwell in dissension cycles space. Rise above and go beyond the limitation of immortality to that which lies beyond, that which is incorruptibility.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week. Thank you.